Morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. We've got some visitors here. That's great to see. What a wonderful, wonderful day today. I'm going to begin with a little bit of a confession. Ever since the assassination on Donald Trump, I have spent way too much time on Twitter, X, whatever that is. I don't know if any of you are like me, and some of you may not be, but I was just looking for answers, looking for reasons, all that sort of stuff. It was kind of unsettling. And then everything that's happened politically since then and all that, again, it's been a little disturbing, it's been unsettling. It's just been kind of hard. And so, Jenny and I talked about this the other day. I'm going to take a little break from Twitter. But anyway, that was too much of that. I'll just go back to that. All I've used that for the last like 3 years is like sports. So I think I'm just going to go back to that. But anyway, when you compound that with just other things that are going on in life, whatever it is, the things that are going on in your life, the things that are going on in my life, whatever it is, it can be a lot, and it can be discouraging. And so what I'd like to do this morning is we're gonna spend a lot of time in Psalm 71. So if you'd like to go ahead and turn over there, we're going to read the whole thing. And then we're going to make application from it. Psalm 71, in it, you're going to see the idea of God, of Jesus as our rock, as our fortress, as our hope. And so that's really what I want to talk about this morning, is just this idea of hope that we have. Because we have this strength in God. And so we're going to read all Psalm 71, and then we'll go from there. So, begin in verse 1. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of habitation to which I may continually come. You have given me commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the grasp of the wrongdoer and the ruthless man. For you are my hope, O Lord God, you are my confidence from my youth. By you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have become a marvel to many, for you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all day long. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies have spoken against me, and those who watch my life have consulted together, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is no one to deliver. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, hasten to my help. Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. But as for me, I will hope continually, and I will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will come with mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me. Until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all, your power to all who are to come. For your righteousness, O God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me many troubles and distresses will revive me again and will bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You may increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. I will also praise you with a harp. Even your truth, O my God, to you I will sing praises with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, and my soul, which you have redeemed. My tongue will also utter your righteousness all day long, for they are ashamed, for they are humiliated who seek my hurt. I feel like I could also just like step down after reading that. But we read that, we see that we serve an almighty God. We have an amazing hope, an amazing confidence, of faith in an all-powerful, loving being who not only made us, but hears prayers like this and he answers. And look at what the psalmist attributes to God. In verse 1, he calls him a refuge. In verses 2 and 4, deliverance, because God rescues him. In verse 6, he's sustained. In verse 12, this version says, hasten to help. That means come quickly to help. 15, salvation. All of those refer to times whenever we're in need. All of those refer to times when we're weak, when we need help, when we need strength, when we need saved. Who's always there for us? God is. He's our rock. He's our fortress. And we should treat him as such. Now, I'll explain that because I don't know how often the idea of a fortress comes into our mind, right? We know what a fortress is. We know what it means when it says he's our rock, how strong he is. Here's the thing. The psalmist is talking about enemies pursuing. If you think about enemies pursuing you, where would you go? Well, you would go, especially this time period, you would go to a fortress. You would go to a stronghold. In ancient Israel, that stronghold is going to be made out of rock, but you're going to go there where you're safe. So when your enemies pursue you, where do you go? You go to a safe place. Now, in our everyday Southwest Missouri lives, how many enemies do we face? Well, probably not many seeking to do us physical harm or to plunder our homes or take our property or anything like that. We don't. At least I hope you don't. I don't. But how often are we bombarded with worldly temptations through media and entertainment? Maybe at our jobs, maybe just running errands, just in our everyday lives. Or what about maybe the doubts and fears that we have inside us that we're constantly fighting? When we face any of those type of enemies, and they can be very powerful enemies, where do we go for safety? Where's our safe place, our refuge, our fortress? It's God. And so when we read all this, we put this all together, you know, what does this lead to? Well, for me, the verses that really stood out as I was going through this and are verses 5 and 14. When the psalmist says, for you are my hope, in verse 5 and in verse 14, but as for me, I will hope continually. Now, of course, hope isn't just, it's not just wishful thinking. Hope is expectation. It's faith. It's a knowing that God cares for us, that he's our salvation, that no matter what the situation is, he's there for us, providing us with strength and keeping us safe from the evil one. And let's turn over to him, John chapter 10. We'll read John chapter 10, verses 27 through 30. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus says in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. That series of verses right there, that's so encouraging to know that no matter what happens in this life, as members of his flock, as his sheep, he says, no one can ever snatch them out of my hand. That always makes me think of when my sons were young, sometimes I'd get a toy and I'd hold it in my hand and they'd try to peel my fingers off, right? They could do that very easily now. But then they couldn't do that. Why? Because I was strong enough I could hold that. It's the same thing with God. He's holding us tight. We're safe there. Now, at any point, we can choose to leave that. But God will hold us tight. And so, regardless of what that is, he's always that fortress, always that strength, always keeping us safe. And we know that we're safe with him, that the enemy can't penetrate that. So, again, regardless of what's going on in this life, whether things are going really well, whether things are going really bad, maybe things are just going, our hope in God, our expectation of salvation, our eternal life is always secure. And so we have that hope of salvation. We have that, just that expectation. We know that no matter what else is going on in the world, that our eternal soul is safe with God. But then what about just, well, when things are going on in life? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus talking in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6, I'm surprised this page in my Bible is not wore out, verses 25 through 34. But what we're going to do is we're going to read verse 25, and then we're going to read verses 31 through 33. Jesus says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" Then jump down to verse 31. "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." God will provide for us. We see this. Jesus says very clearly, God will provide. He'll take care of us. Jesus doesn't say here that God will make life easy. He doesn't say we won't have trials, we won't have problems. He says God will provide for us. He'll be there for us. That's why Paul could write from jail in Philippians. Josh talked about this not too long ago. Paul could write this in Philippians 4, 12 through 13. He says, "I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to live in prosperity and in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, of both abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." It's because God is that, again, He's that rock, He's that fortress, He's that hope that allows us to get through whatever it is. We know that our soul is secure with Him. We know that we can get through whatever the trials, whatever the things are in life, because He's there for us. If Paul could write that in that situation that he was in, and again, Josh did a great job of pointing out what the prison was and all that, if he can write that there, the psalmist back here in Psalm 71 can say what he says. I mean, we know that God is there for us. We know that He is our, again, our fortress, our rescue, our strength, and not only this life, but the life to come. So when we think about all that, how does that help us? We read that and it's comforting. And if we look back in Psalm 71, verse 5, He not only says, "You're my hope," He says, "Oh Lord, You are my confidence." He says, "You're my confidence from my youth," but You're my confidence. Some versions say that You're my trust, or I trust in You. How do we act when we're confident, whenever we trust in what we're doing? Well, we're bold. We just live life fully. We just go for it. What I was thinking of as I wrote this, if you drive over a bridge, you trust it and you're confident, what do? You just do it without thinking about it, right? You just go for it. I remember when I was a kid, there was a bridge, old bridge. It was wooden and you had to drive on the, it had planks that went this way, but you had to drive on the ones that went this way. All right, and you better go slow. And I just remember being little and my grandma would get concerned and grandpa would be like, "It's all right." But it just, when grandma was, I thought, why is grandma concerned? Well, because she didn't have a whole lot of trust in that bridge, right? That's not how we are with God. We can trust God that no matter what, it's there. He'll get us over the waters. He'll get us through. And we can, again, we can live boldly, confidently, live a godly life that way, without fearing the consequences of that. Because God's there for us. He's that refuge. If we look at verse 15 in Psalm 71, He says, "My mouth shall tell of Your righteousness and of Your salvation all day long." He says, "I don't know the sum of them." In 16, "I will come with mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of Your righteousness." 17 says, "I'll declare Your wondrous deeds." 18, again, I declare your strength to this generation, your power to come. 24, I will utter your righteousness all day long. He speaks of it, but also he'll declare it through doing it. And so we can boldly live. We don't have to be worried and anxious and all that sort of thing. We know that God provides, that God takes care of us. And so that we can not only speak about God, but we can live our lives in a way that glorifies God, because we know that he's the strength, he's the power behind us. And then hand in hand with living as bold, confident Christians, it leads to praise. Verse 6, where he says, my praise is continually of you. In verse 8, my mouth is filled with your praise. Verse 14, I will praise you yet more and more. Verse 22, I will praise you with the harps, I will praise you with the lyres. He'll praise you in song. Verse 23, I'll shout for joy, I'll sing praises to you. That's what that allows for. That when we sing, when we pray, just in our lives, we praise God. He's our Redeemer, He's our strength, He's our confidence, He's our hope. And so, if I go back to my intro, whenever I go down a rabbit hole about what's going on with all these things politically, or you look at society and say, oh, things are awful. It's not true. I mean, I think things can be bad, but some of you that are older, I wasn't alive then. I've read about the 60s. I know about what was going on then in society and stuff like that. I know there were hard things happening. I don't know if this is exactly the same. I hope not. But still, I mean, I know there were hard things going on. And then there's other times, of course, in American history and certainly in world history. But here's the thing. As Christians, we're aware of all that. But that's not where our hope is found. That's not where our strength is. It's not in a political party. It's not in some sort of societal movement. It's nothing like that. This is where it is. This is where our hope is. And so we live boldly. We praise God because he's that strength. He's that fortress. He's that rock for us. I want to finish by reading, we're going to read 1 Peter. So go ahead and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. I'm going to read a paragraph here. It'll be verses 3 through 9. And as we read this, consider some of the things here we talked about, of God being a fortress and a hope, of God being our rock, our strength, of praising God. Peter writes, starting in verse 3 of chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." Our hope, our strength is in God. It's in Christ. He's provided strength for us in this life. He's provided salvation in life to come. We'll offer an invitation now. If you've been struggling, if you need the prayers of the church, if you would like to become a Christian, like put the Lord on baptism, we offer the opportunity to come forward while we stand and while we sing.